What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about Two Loss Distribution. They are one of the most technologically advanced distributors in music. They distribute to more stores than any of the distributors around. They distribute, they give you 100% of your royalties. They only charge you $3 a month, and you have an instant option to get an advance from these guys. So if you're watching this and you want to be in the music business and you're trying to figure out how to get help, I'm here to tell you, go to twoloss.com and use the word GODS as your coupon code, and you get the first 3 months free.
Peace and love. It's Rick the Negotiator.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And welcome to Artist Spotlight, presented by Two Loss. And these gentlemen that we have here, we was in the room speaking, and we were trying to figure out what should we talk about, because like, what's the value we want to give to the conversation? And we agreed it to Artist Spotlight because you guys are at the forefront of helping artists with your marketing agency and with your media property. Like, really, like, teach artists. Shit, I'm on y'all thing that y'all on No Labels Necessary right now. I just shout out to Esso. He just sent it to me. Like, check it out. But anyway, let's give it up for Brandman Sean and Corey. Not Corey. Corey. Let's go.
Appreciate that.
Corey from Griffin, Georgia. Let's go.
I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, man. So, I wanted to sit down. First of all, Brandman Sean, tell me where you got your name from. How did you come up with that? Like, how did you guys come together?
I mean, my name, it was just organic, man. I was helping everybody out. People, like, I was throwing some shows, and I organically ended up and giving a lot of people advice.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, hey, you know, help me out with my branding, help me out with my marketing, get some views. I ended up, like, dropping some advice on YouTube, and then that started moving. And eventually, I was just going by my name, Sean Taylor.
Yeah.
But it started to become more and more serious. And I was like, dang, man, I got to start branding myself.
Yeah,
because I'm talking about branding. You know what I mean? It'd be whack.
I'm about to say that. That's why the name works.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, I can't just like be out here like regular.
Mike, you know, yeah. Exactly, yeah.
And then, you know, I was just brainstorming and Brandman Sean. I was like, it just flows.
So hold on. And that's how you came up with Corey? Is like, you want to...
Nah, Corey's like a funny family country
He just
like it and owned it, bro. Yeah. Like, it was a joke. I owned it. You know what I'm saying? That's the name. So
I'm about to say, if it was, that'd be fire. Like, so how would y'all describe Brand? Because I ain't gonna lie, Brandman Sean. I'm just learning about branding in the last 2 or 3 years. Like, I've been in the music business almost 20.
Oh, that's crazy.
I know it's crazy because our business was so, like, you know, compartmentalized, where if you were in A&R, that's what you needed to know. Mm-hmm. You didn't need to know marketing, but now everyone has to be sort of a hybrid. So how would you break branding down?
Mm.
What does it mean to you guys?
For me, I like to simplify branding as your reputation. Mm-hmm. All right, like, it's just how people think of you. It's not how you want people to think of you. It's how other people think of you. And my reputation with you versus Corey versus my mom, like, it's different with everybody.
Yeah.
So it's just about that relationship and process of having this idea in your mind that you want to be presented as, and making sure there's a connection, because that's the gap that most people have. It's like, I want to be seen as this. You've seen the artist that, like, yeah, I'm like this. Yeah. You know, I'm that guy, or I'm mysterious. And it's like, no, nobody's, you're not mysterious. Nobody cares about you, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, there's a difference.
That's true.
So how do you actually make sure you stick that landing? And that's that process of branding.
Even if you're mysterious, isn't the mystery the brand?
If you do it right.
If you do it right.
Yeah.
But
who's, like, done it right? I wonder who's done it right. Like, the mystery. Because the mystery thing don't work for me. And
yeah.
I'm just like, who's completed right? And then I got way more questions about that after y'all tell me who.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's been done well. I feel like the last good example of it doing well was like Early Weekend.
Mm.
Probably the last time it was done well. But it was a different landscape. I think the last artist we maybe saw try was Four Bats. But then even he got the bat pretty quick. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he didn't hold the mystery for too long. Like, they did it for maybe like 2-3 months, and then it seemed like kind of hopped out. But I think the last good long term example of it is like early.
Okay,
early
so the Weeknd. What did the Weeknd do that worked that most artists don't do, that try to do that fail?
I mean, and like I said, it was a different landscape. So, I mean, he essentially did what we're telling people to do today, but the version of the time, right? So in his time, there wasn't TikTok, there wasn't really YouTube. I think it might have been like Facebook, but
Tumblr.
Blogs and Tumblr were like the big thing. So,
yeah.
I mean, The Weeknd used to have a blog that he updated like a couple times a day, almost every day. He was dropping music on it. He was working Tumblr pretty consistently. And like, so I think that So it might even be unfair to say he was being mysterious. For real, I guess he was kind of being deep in the way.
But
if you weren't there, you wouldn't have seen it. So to the people that didn't get that deep into his brand or his marketing at the time, may feel like, oh, like, he wasn't doing anything. He wasn't saying anything. But like day one, fans of him knew like, nah, he was talking in a different way. Yeah.
Some of it was a mistake too, because he blew up, like his music blew up.
Yeah.
And people wanted to know who this guy was. And he didn't do interviews. People thought he was building out this mysterious brand, but apparently he was like nervous.
Yeah.
And he just wasn't comfortable getting out there. But again, it's that relationship. Oh, I hear your music and I want to know who you are.
Yeah.
So now I actually care and I'm not getting that information, right? It's that seduction dance. I want more, I'm not getting more. But again, a lot of artists try to like say I'm mysterious and then don't go through the process of making people care first. But you can always pull back. And that's what most people don't get. Like Pharrell kind of has a mystique to him now, right?
Yes.
But he was out there in front and then he pulled back later because now people care for him. And you can build that over time. Yeah. Like your brain doesn't have to stay mysterious. It doesn't have to stay like out there and regretting.
It doesn't have to stay the way it started.
If you know what you're doing, you can like transition through different phases. I think most people just think it has to be, this is my brand forever. But if you got a career, you probably going to go through multiple. Think about Beyonce today.
Yeah.
You know, that first growing up, like Beyonce was never on any kind of black issues or anything that. You know what I mean? Like same for like athlete like LeBron. He wasn't super outspoken and things like that. So you can transition. It just depends. You just got to make sure you get people to care about you. So then when you make your moves now, like you can reposition yourself.
Yeah, I think it's the big thing too. Like you got to be interesting in so many other areas to be mysterious. And that's usually the issue to me is like, a lot of these artists aren't interesting enough to try to hide things from the public, right? It's like, no, at this stage, you need whatever little piece of information might get people hooked. That could be how you look. That could be your backstory. That could be your situation. It's like, but the artists that we do see even attempt to do it moderately well, let's say like a Playboy Cardi. Like Playboy Cardi is entire.
He's a really good one.
Yeah, but his entire life is interesting at this point. Like he does interesting things in other ways where you're kind of like, okay, I can afford. Oh, I'm cool with you pulling back because I know that when you do pop out, it's going to be interesting. You'll see a lot of artists who want to be mysterious, but then when they pop out, it's just like the same shit other artists are doing. So then you kind of feel as a fan like, damn, bro, I waited all this time and went through all this for nothing.
Yeah. I was going to say, what did Playboy Cardi, because he didn't come off mysterious, am I right? He came off kind of like loud with it, right?
Yeah, he's another one like for real. Like in the beginning, Playboy Cardi was huge on Snapchat. Like Playboy Cardi's been on Snapchat 6-7 times a day, every day when he was in kind of that SoundCloud era. When he was even on SoundCloud, I don't think a lot of artists idolize the SoundCloud period because they feel like, hey, that may have been the last time where artists could just blow up off of music and there wasn't content needed. But what they fail to see is that at that time, SoundCloud and dropping music was that version of posting content.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, we're telling you today to post 5 TikToks in a week, where their strategy back then might have been posting 5 songs in a day.
Yeah.
And kind of working the algorithm. But that's why I think the whole mysterious thing is kind of, the artists that argue for it usually arguing out of bad faith because they didn't see all the other elements that the artists had to go through. Like Sean said, either they worked for so long to get to this point, or they already had so many other things that were interesting about them that you were kind of willing
things
to chill
out. What are things that an artist, like, and I'm asking out of pure curiosity, right? What are the things that artists can do to be interesting? Or even Playboi Carti, if you want to use him as an example, what are some things that interesting things that he does to make people drawn? Because I believe that the problem with most artists is they see themselves as the poster on the wall rather than seeing themselves as a 3D individual standing on the table, right?
Yep,
like, like now you can look at the clothes, it's just, you can add so much more texture. So I always tell artists, add more texture to your shit, but they're like what? So that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, I mean,
like, why? What am I supposed to do? I'm like, I don't know, motherfucker, it's your life.
I mean, I think the irony of it, is to make yourself be interesting, you have to share your life, which is the part artists don't want to hear. It's like, I can't find your life interesting if you hold everything in. So like for Cardi, I know for me watching him coming up, it was just interesting seeing like this kid from South Atlanta like hanging out with like Fashion Week models and hanging out with fashion influencers and, you know, like the whole ASAP crew. Because I knew him from the early days when he was with, I can't think his name, the Alpha Records. With Alpha Records. And so like maybe it was interesting to me because I'm like, oh, man, I've seen this guy around. Like I've seen him at places and like I said, he's from Riverdale or Jonesboro, wherever he's from. So like to see him.
He's from the South.
So then see him like Fashion Week hanging out with Cardi or stuff like that was interesting. So I was like, okay, I'm tapped into the music to a certain degree, but now I'm starting to see him hang out with other figures and things that I find interesting.
Do you think that part of your interest in that is because you're from maybe South Georgia?
Yeah, 100%. I think, and me at the time, I was really into clothes and stuff. So it was like, gotcha. Oh, okay, cool. Like, I know where Cardi's from. And I scroll on Instagram and I see him hanging out with this fashion influencer I know lives in like Paris or something. And you're wondering like, damn, how bro get this situation, you know?
I think you just helped me shine a light on something. I think artists give us permission to be who we are. Because I think we all naturally think we're weird.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I'm weird. I think like this. And I think artists give you the opportunity to like you said, like it's like I'm a kid from South Georgia and I love fashion. Now here's another kid from South Georgia and you focus strictly on the models, the runway, and that's because that's your interest.
Yeah.
But there can be so many other things, so many other sub-genres that you could be a part of, like whether it's cooking, whether it's sports, whether it's gaming, whatever it could be. It's so many things you could be. But artists tend to look at it like, I just want to make a song to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's probably the best way to describe the picture on the wall. The picture on the wall sold a song.
Yeah.
The artist standing here in 3D sells the song, the lifestyle, the culture, the environment, everything.
Yep.
So
yep.
I think that that's what it is.
Artists hate like exactly what you just said. They want that 2D image, but the reality is the only people who are going to love you strictly for the music is music heads.
Yes.
Another artist, right? Like, if you want to represent something, if you want to be something more, like, most people aren't going to get, like, these little elements that you dropped into the music, right? Yeah. And I'm somebody who really appreciates music just for music. But when we're talking about building a brand, I don't go to buy, right, for something that doesn't represent me.
Yeah.
It's always going to be some level of representation. And the biggest thing you can do is be an outlet. You are the identity. For some people, an artist's image might give them, like, confidence.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, Corey says, like, man, this might be possible for me to be in this bag.
Corey, you said Corey. I know y'all partners.
He got like, hey, bro.
I know y'all. You know what I'm saying? I, you know how to fuck with you because I managed Tehran. And people will correct me and say, T-Ron. I'm like, I've been managing a nigga 20 years, but I call a nigga Tehran. Like, bro, you know what I'm saying?
I got like five names I call him. It's crazy. But like, people are looking for artists like for permission, like what you said. So, one, I might fulfill a void. Like, you might be like my friend. Like, if somebody's depressed, right, and I'm listening to you to feel better, right, or you're giving me courage. I'm insecure and not like Kanye. A lot of people who resonate with Kanye in the way he's like lashing out is like, man, he's kind of
like me. Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm not.
Exactly. Yeah, and I might be an insecure artist, and I love the fact that he's able to be bold.
Yes.
In you know, in all these circumstances,
he's the hero in the moment that you kind of. It's almost like you wanted to do it, but somebody did it. It's almost it's like the slow clap.
Yeah.
Like that one person that stands up and claps is like you on your own for like 3 seconds. Like you looking around like, is anybody gonna stand up with me? And it just need one other person and then everybody follow. But
that's what an artist is supposed to do.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yes, exactly. You are supposed to be that. There's a whole, I remember I watched a TED talk. I was probably in college and it was literally like a guy on a hill and it was a bunch of people around. And he just started dancing.
Yeah.
Right. And then he's just like dancing weird. Everybody looking at him. But one other person joined in, and then it started to slowly spill. And it goes back to that concept of how it's so important to just build those first few fans. Like, once you get a couple, it validates everything. You don't look crazy no more.
I need three people. Just
you to rock with me heavy. And once you got that, like, things can flow. So, I think, like, when I know a lot of artists, especially being insecure, might not feel like I want to show anything else.
Yeah.
But like the game has always been like other elements other than music.
Yeah.
Like when I observed it, to me, in my opinion, I wasn't around back then, but I look at doing live shows as the old school version of doing social media. Like when you go back to the 60s and like stuff like that was how I had to get in front of people. Yes. You make money, you had to get in the road. Now y'all have the ability to not perform. So you complain about, you know, social media, but it's also you don't have like, so you're just trading off different parts of the business that you got to focus on, but it's always more than just music.
Yeah. You guys have an agency, Contrabrand, really successful. When artists come to you, labels come to you and they want to work with you guys, what are the mistakes? I don't want to limit it to three. Mm. What are the mistakes, the common mistakes you guys see from artists who are just starting off, who want to make it, and you know, they're trying, but what are the common mistakes we see?
I think the big one is, I call it like, we call it like breaking the rose tinted glasses. So these are usually artists that come in, they probably green, never had any real marketing. Closer they may have got to it is like watching our content, watching y'all content, sure, something like that. And their expectations for their budget doesn't match what we know is realistically going to happen with it, right? This is the artist that comes in with a $1,500 budget for an influencer campaign, and the end of it is like, man, why ain't viral? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Why did this campaign only get X amount of tens of thousands of views or something like that? And it that mentality, because some of those clients will stick around, right? Like some we can kind of talk off the ledge. Hey, bro, what you asked for was really like a 10K campaign. You know, we did what we could do with 1,500. This is good for where you're at. And they may stick around a little bit while after that, but then you can slowly start to see the doubt and the self creep kind of start to come in over time in that phase, and they start doing stupid shit that either negatively affects the campaign or makes the campaign completely not worth it.
Yeah,
and, you know, an example.
So we had a client one time. This is the example that fucked me up.
Are you thinking about the sign?
I don't know. I'm gonna see. I'll let you tell and see. But we had a client one time. I mean, we was working with this dude for like. Okay. Had to be like 3-4 months. He was annoying the first 2 months. About third month, he kind of chilled out. So we're running the ad campaign for him, trying to finally get something going. So around the end of the third month, he had a video go viral on Instagram. And then we figured out like his Instagram ads at the same time. Maybe like 2 weeks go by. And, you know, we're doing our weekly check-in. You know, you get your check-ins from the agency. Sure. This is what's going on. Bro, don't hit me back. Give another couple days, bro. Don't hit me back. So I hit Sean like, hey, bro, just in case some weird shit, hit the Stripe account in a couple days. I want you to know we got the emails, we got the proof, bro. I ain't responding back. So he finally gets back to me maybe like 4 months later. And he's like, yeah, bro, like my anxiety got bad. Like it just was so many followers coming in that like I just panicked and deleted my Instagram account. So, exactly, right? Yeah. Crazy.
That's so not then, the only time we had some stuff.
Yeah, we've had it happen to us at least like 4 or 5 times.
A lot of people aren't prepared for the moment. Everybody's scared of the moment.
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, it's a lot. I mean, you go from being like a regular dude one day to out of nowhere, I mean, hundreds to thousands of people are trying to follow you and talk to you. I get it. I understand. But then there's a part of me that's like, hey, bro, that's what you asked for. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you know what I tell people? When we dream, the dream is perfect in our brain. Like, you dream about, like I dreamt about everything I have now. I just didn't realize that it came with this many bills and this much work next to it. Like, I didn't realize. Like, it's like, damn, it is a big house, but I can't even enjoy that shit because I got to wake up in the morning. I got to get to work. You don't think about that part of your dream. Yep. So a lot of artists make that mistake where they're like, I want to do this. And then they get there and they like, hold on, I got to do what?
That shit's scary.
No, your dream doesn't determine the job. Yeah. Your dream determines the end goal.
Yep.
Yeah.
The job is the real thing that you got to focus on, and we miss that part. Anything for you, Sean?
I stay on the artist side instead of the label side, but the artist, like, first I want to say, like, along with what he talked about, it's crazy because when we manage these expectations and let them know, before we get going, man, like, this is exactly what you should expect. These are what things look like. Some people will panic, and then they'll have maybe some good results if they continue with this, and then and pull out because they're not ready for the continued investment, or they'll just go the other way. And we've had situations where we tell them, this is exactly how it goes. This is what you should expect for your money. If someone says anything else, then you're probably going to get screwed. And I remember, I think there was a girl. She probably spent like 5K with us or whatever. And it was a great campaign because we have context. We know what a good campaign looks like, which is the thing an artist struggle with. They could be doing good and not know it, and they could be doing bad and not know it. So she finishes off that campaign. She ends up going off and spends like 20 bands with somebody else. It was a straight scam. Like 100% scam. And she ends up hitting Corey back just to like get help with it. And it's like, bro, you should have stayed with us. We had told you from the beginning. You spent like quadruple the money, got completely scammed, like 100%, not even close. And now you're coming back. But it's that, like, I understand it because you don't have a lot of money, right? And you're trying to get the most, the bang for the buck. I get the mentality. And then also you might have saved, and you also are impatient, most likely. But that leads to so many like missteps.
Yep.
And it's like, if you just slow down, invest with the right people, and then move at the right pace, people don't realize you actually saved that money that you lost. Absolutely. And you saved the time from making all these missteps.
Yep.
Like, we do the same thing. Like, we talk to people who have been certain places, or whenever we're thinking about going to a certain place in business and things like that, first thing you know, we're talking to people. Oh, if we got to pay to talk to somebody, cool. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to shorten the pitfalls.
Exactly.
You know, so like that's a huge thing that I see with like most artists. But other than that, man, it's I think the lack of preparation for what it really looks like and understanding that when things turn up, it's time for you to turn up mm-hmm. and work harder because this window doesn't come forever is like the biggest gap that most don't really understand.
Question for all three of y'all. We all been in this game.
Yep.
Because you just triggered something. Do we even know how to prepare somebody for this?
I was going to that question.
I was about to say, how do we even prepare somebody for it?
What is the preparation as an artist, especially somebody, as you said, brand new? Yep. You know what I'm saying? They got $2,000 in their pocket. You know what I'm saying? They know we want to invest, we want to get ads. How do you prepare for that as an artist?
I mean, what you about to say?
If you've never done it before.
I mean, first, I just try to think of, like, I've tried to think of different analogies and ways to explain it to them first, right? Like in reality, people think, like, when things start moving, that means I've made it. But the way I look at it is, like, when things start moving, it's like you just got a ticket to join the race. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you got to realize now, today, things are starting. And then I try to give examples, like, if you look at people with their different rises, I can even go to like comedy. Like, if you remember, there was a period of time where Kevin Hart was just going stupid crazy, yeah. mm-hmm. right? But he had been in the game for a long time, so he probably understood, right? Yeah. When the moment's here, I have to go crazy and maximize it. And you go as many levels up as you can in that window because today I could put in $1 and get 20 back. Mm-hmm. But most days you put in $1, you might get $1 back, you might get 50 cents back. But once you see that, come back. Like in more numbers that you than you're used to, you just go heads down until the world say slow down. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a certain level of it where the artists really should be kind of developing themselves. Cause I think you also have to separate it. Like, are we preparing them for what comes with the internet side of it, or are we preparing them for what comes with the real world side of
you
it?
You kind of got prepared for both.
Yeah, both, right. Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah,
it's like, yeah. It's almost like yeah. the internet is one thing and the real world is another.
Yeah.
And you working in two virtual, one world is you living in, and one world is the only one that people care about, it feels like.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I'm trying to say? So it's like you in this virtual world where, you know, like, it's like, dog, they're showing their highlights.
Yeah.
That's why I tell artists, I'm like, good day, bad day, indifferent day, don't matter what the day is, talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, talk about what you learned, how you opened it, what you did in the middle of it, how you're ending it, and how you're preparing for tomorrow. There's so many ways to, like, build with an audience that I think we dropped the ball on. That's why I was just going.
Yeah. Man, I do think, too, it's easier today for artists to kind of, like, self-develop and, like, kind of get ahead of these certain things. I mean, if you talk about the internet side of it, it's very rare that, like, an artist truly goes from, like, 0 to 100 in a day. You know, most of the scenarios where we see artists and we feel like they have blown up overnight, it's usually been at least a couple of months, years being put into it before that moment finally comes. So if you talk about there's a, I don't know, 9-month window where that artist was only getting 5 followers a day. And then on, you know what I'm saying, day 9, month 1, he starts getting 100,000 followers a day. Is that where you had that time where you were getting 5 followers a day to practice? You could have been, you know, engaging with fans. You could have kind of, you know, going live, got some of the insecurities out, see what it feels like to deal with a troll, you know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah. By the time you hit this point where now it's thousands of people interacting with you this way or interacting with you in this way, you're kind of a little bit more prepared for it. Because yeah. I look at, like, the muscle only gets stronger, right? It's like going to the gym. Like I'm lifting 20 pounds to be able to get to the point where I can bench 200. But it's very rare you just jump straight to 200. You know what yeah. I'm saying? But so I think the internet side of it is a little, I won't say easy, but it's a little more open and kind of prepare yourself for it.
And it can be influenced easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything with
yeah.
numbers can be influenced.
For sure.
Yeah, because you can attract who you want to come in. And you can, which means you can basically build the type of interactions you have with people. Like our audience, like we don't get weird shit. Like, it's very rare that I get weird DMs, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, weird interactions. It's mostly people coming to ask for advice.
Man,
or,
you got a couple fans, man.
I mean, I say very rare, not never, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's very rare that I get them. But, like, it's because, like, all right, well, we've only been talking about educational things. If we jumped out the window and started talking about other shit, I'm pretty sure the interactions we have with people would change. People would start viewing things differently. So, it's like, online is a little easier to navigate because you can cultivate the type of people that interact with you. The real world stuff that comes with it, I mean, outside like maybe shows and stuff, I honestly don't think you can prepare. Like, you can't tell yeah. someone, like, it's hard to walk someone through the situation of dealing with, let's say, like, in Sean's example, a shady marketer until they've been in a situation where they either already have been scammed or have at least dealt with a good marketer.
It's almost like you got to. It's almost like your rite the passage. You got to get scammed.
Like sometimes it's kind of like the relationship. Like you're like, I don't want to be there first. Yeah. We appreciate sometimes when they ran through that. Yeah. It's just like, hey, all right, now you know.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to go through the bad work. Yep. And I was going to say the worst thing that can happen to any artist, and I know this is going to be a contradiction to them, but if you're an artist, just listen. The worst thing that can happen is you put out one song and it blows up.
Yes. Yeah,
100%. That is the worst thing.
Bro,
I've
said this again
because,
and again.
Because you got, now you don't know nothing but wins.
That's it. And you're forever chasing a hit
that you'll never catch again.
That
feeling, and you don't know that you just caught lightning in a bottle on the right day, which everybody does if you stand in long enough. But if that first time, dog, it's the worst thing is to happen that number one record your first time out. Oh my God. That's,
yeah.
I mean, like nothing out, one record, because now you're a phenom.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, oh my God, what's a phenom gonna do? And it's like, no, I just got lucky today. It was just,
and the expectations.
But
now
you be
are
thinking
here.
You're a phenom.
Yeah. Expectations are here now. So now you come with another record and it's not a 10, now you're in trouble.
I used to like to use Russ for an example, because like we know Russ is super dope, has this independent mindset, and has been a great example for artists. All right. But if you like listen to him tell the story.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice Bone-In Tender Ribeye Steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There was a period of time where he's reaching out to all these blogs and stuff. People were ducking him. Nobody wanted to do it. Like, he dropped, 11 albums on YouTube before he even got on SoundCloud. But he was trying to blow up the whole time.
The whole time.
It's not like he wasn't trying to blow up.
Exactly.
Right? It's like he finally blew up and he had a catalog and all these things that were to his benefit.
Yes.
Right?
It made it better now.
It actually made it way better.
It made the tide rise.
Right?
Yes.
So I love the fact that he shares like his journey and everything, but I think a lot of artists like miss the lessons that like he's really putting out there. It's like, no, because imagine if he blew up his first joint.
Yeah.
He would have probably been on a label. All he would have got everything that he wanted, but he wouldn't have had the power and leverage he has today that allows him to move and be the guy that's inspiring everybody.
But the most important thing you have to have is the understanding of what it is that you're doing.
Yeah.
That's the part that they miss. They want. They miss the part of having an understanding of what you're doing. Like, you are in a trial and error cycle every day until you as a brand are broken. Not till your song is broken.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing artists do wrong. Their song will break and then they want to go get the money tour. Like, who's paying me the most? I'm going there. I don't care what it is. And then what you realize is that next week there's going to be another song. The week after that. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you're on your tour.
Mm-hmm.
You just get money. And then by the time you got a pocket full of money, now you're like, all right, cool. I'm ready to put out another song. They forgot about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They forgot about you. You got to stay in the front.
Double down.
Of the artist and everything else. And if you're not doing that, you're going. I love what we do. The only thing that keeps me safe in it is knowing that if I wake up and I do it every day, that something good will happen. What that is, we don't know.
That's a fact.
That's the hard part about our world. It's like, we wake up every day. Like, I would listen to interviews, and sometimes people be like, man, so tell me about that song you wrote. And I'm like, bro, they wrote 1,000 songs. else. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That one just worked. Like you said, we all just try to find that lightning in the bottle moment. Mm-hmm. And when we do, we don't know what's going, you know what I mean? Like, but we're looking for that moment. And the reality is what you really should be looking for is the ability to be consistent.
Yeah.
Yes. Like when I started this podcast, I remember like people like, what's the plan? What's the plan? What's the plan? I'm like, I don't have a plan. I just want to see if I can do it. Mm. I just want to know if I could, like, you know, like, yeah, we start talking about monetizing and how we're going to make it. Like, bro, can we even do it? Like, do we even know that we can put out content? Do we even know that we can do something interesting enough that make people even, we don't know none of that. So how are we planning and plotting?
Bro, I love that you say that, because I've seen people do this on podcasts and everything damn near now. Like, because we preach business so much, and I love that. I want people to be educated, but people come in and try to get to parts of the business that they don't belong in ASAP.
Yes.
Right? Like, I had a person come to me, and they had not dropped their music yet. And they were saying, oh, I just signed up for two platforms. One was a distributor. Matter of fact, I think it was Too Lost. So shout out to Too Lost. We have good space where I can throw that name out there. But the other one was like one of the monetization platforms. And it's like, bro, you haven't even dropped a song yet. You know, like, you're thinking about monetizing a fan base. Like, just focus all that energy, because especially you got no resources. Yes. Like, you are the resource. You got to manage your energy.
You got to focus on you.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
The problem is this, though. There's nobody there to tell a lot of these artists that. They don't know. It's like the blind leading the blind. Mm-hmm. So then they just start going.
I don't think it's the blind leading the blind. I'm going to take that back. Let me tell you why, Rick. I believe it's... What's good, everybody? This is Ray Danes, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you were wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniel Tsai. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. And matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com. And we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
People that's like, hey, man, I can show you how to get your lungs up and your energy up to walk up these stairs. It's 100 stairs, 100 flights. But if you get to the top, I can show you. It's going to be hard. But when we get there, you'll be ready. And then that line got 3 people in it. Yeah. It's 3 million people in the line where God is like, big, give me 10,000. I'm going to get you 1 million streams and you're going to blow up.
Yeah.
So it's lack of people wanting to do the actual work.
It's people who are treating this like a hustle,
yeah,
rather treating it like a career. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't treat this platform like a hustle. I treat it like a business. Like, we sit down with my team and Chad, Donnie, James, and everybody. We like, yo, and Aaron, of course, Aaron too. We all sit down. Yeah, I'm trying to get my young boys. Okay, AP. Now, but you know, like, I sit down with them, and it's like the worst thing you could do is focus on the money. And you have to focus on doing the job right. Mm-hmm. And if you can't manage a dollar, you damn sure ain't gonna be able to manage a million. Yeah.
That's a fact.
And no matter what, if you could blow, and let me tell you another thing about this game. There are millions of people in it with their hands out saying, I can help. Nigga, money go fast. That's why I'm like, every athlete that gets drafted starts a label. Everybody that hits the lottery starts a label. Everybody that run into the money starts a label. Bro, if that shit was that easy, it would be
a lot more
easy. It would be everywhere. It's not that. There's an intricate thought process that mm-hmm. goes into this shit. Yeah. And y'all are masters of it.
Yeah.
Speaking of masters, this is how we got here. So I did a clip. Ryan, you ready? We're going to bring a lawyer on. Come on, man. Just pop yourself in the middle, man. Let's give it to Ryan, man. Ryan is an attorney. And, you know, I follow Bradman Sean. And I seen... I'm not gonna lie to y'all. I was high out of my mind. It was late night. Listen, during the daytime, I'm good now. But at night, nigga, I took an edible And I saw that shit and somebody sent it to me. It was like ether. Like, somebody, somebody sent it to me. Like, yeah, somebody talking about you.
It's, so I was like, funny.
They talking, you think so? I'm like, but a lot of people saying it. And it was my little cousin. He was like, nah, cuz, he talking about you.
That's funny.
DM, I swear. And I was like, so I was like, you know what? First of all, I do appreciate you coming, Ryan, and I do understand the legality part of it, right? Obviously, I'm not a lawyer, but I speak about the game in a very simple way, right?
Sure.
Because, I mean, I've been in this business 20 years, and it's still shit terms and understandings that I'm learning every day because I'm not a lawyer, right? But what we were speaking about at that moment was we were specifically speaking about Glorilla falling out with Hit Kid.
Yeah.
And my co-host asked me, like, so hold on. So, like, what happened? Like, why can't she take the master? Like, why can't she? And I'm like, he paid for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Then she goes, well, hold on. How does that work? So if he pays for everything, I said, he who pays for the master owns the everything.
Master. Mm-hmm.
That's what I was saying. So when I'm speaking about rights. I'm speaking about, like, We're on TV right now. We're on cameras right now, but someone is paying for the people. Someone is paying for the camera. Someone is paying for the light, and that person owns the right to the content, if you will.
Sure.
Right. So when I was speaking about that, but you said that it's not complete. So let's talk about the master, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we actually agree on the concept of ownership, but I think it's a difference between ownership from a copyright intellectual property standpoint and right to possession of something,
yes.
Right? So
break that down, because for someone that doesn't understand, the right to possession and own of copyright.
So like possession, for instance, I bring my car to an auto shop.
Yep.
I need them to fix it, and they say it's going to be X amount of money. They fix it for me, and they give me the bill, and I say, I'm not going to pay that.
Yes.
It's my car.
Yep.
But they don't need to give me my car back.
They can hold it.
Until I pay.
Yes.
They've got the possession of the physical thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So same thing with studio time, right? We book a session, you know, I go in there, I record a verse, I don't pay for that session, and now I ask for the files. They don't have to give me those files until I pay for it.
Yes.
They've got possession.
That's all I was speaking about.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. But as far as the ownership from an intellectual property standpoint, you know, back to that car example, right?
Yep.
Just because I didn't pay doesn't mean the mechanics now, like, I got title to your car, it's my car,
yes.
I can sell it, whatever. So from a ownership, from copyright, whoever is the author,
yep.
Whoever creates the work, whether it's the songwriting, the music and the lyrics, or you're actually working on that beat, that recording, you own the intellectual property.
Yes.
Meaning that studio that can hold on to that stuff, They can't do shit with
they
it.
They can't do nothing
they
with
can't
it. They
can't put it out on two loss. They
yes.
can't, because I'll hit them with the takedown.
Yep.
That's my intellectual property, but they can hold on to it.
Yep.
I had a situation very similar to all this conversation not too long ago, where somebody went to an estate sale of a, you know, very famous artist and they bought a digital camera at the estate sale, and in that bag was a whole bunch of SD cards. And in one of those SD cards was an unreleased album from that artist.
Sheesh.
There was music, there was videos, like home videos, there was photos, and there was an album. And they called me and they said, can I drop this on a distribution platform? And I said, not if you want to get sued.
Yes.
You own the physical SD card.
Yes.
You don't own the intellectual property
yes.
to it.
But here's another thing that, because that clip has probably been my most famous clip. It goes everywhere. But here's the thing that we also didn't talk about was that you can make another master.
Absolutely.
You just don't have that one. And that's what the intricate parts of the business we don't talk about, where if so what I mean by that, guys, is that say if I own a studio and I want to put out a song on these guys, right? And let's say Corey is the producer and y'all two are the artists, right? Or matter of fact, let's take it further. Corey's the producer, you're the writer, you're the artist, right? So I want to put out a song, so I bring in Corey, I bring in Ryan, I bring in Sean, and I'm like, yo, let's make a song. I'm paying for everything, right? Whatever we create, I technically own that. I own the possession of it, right?
Right.
I still have to work out my deal with you guys, because the producer is supposed to get royalties, the artist gets royalties, but the actual master I will own, and I can't release without that. But there's another side to it where I do the songs, I pay for it, And then I don't speak to these guys for 2 years. And they run into each other on social media. And now they're like, hey, what happened to that song? Now, technically, they can fuck me, right?
And that's when they call me.
They can tell me they can fuck me and be like, well, we could just, you know, take the, anybody got the files? We could just act like we recorded again and say, no, we recorded this on another studio. It just sounds exactly the same. Or you can just record it because technically you own the published rights of the what's on there. Like the master is how, like, I'm not a lawyer, so I would rather you break it down, but you own the actual master is different than owning the rights of the publishing because that's the lyrics and the music. That's the, how do you say it?
Absolutely. So yeah. You've got two copyrights.
Yes.
When you talk about music, you've got the composition, which is known as music.
Yeah, that's why I was the composition.
Music, lyrics, yeah. Also known as publishing. And you've got the sound recording, also known as the master.
Yep.
So those are two different, completely different monetizable rights. That's why you've got labels. That's why you have publishing companies. And those two, sometimes if you're an independent artist, you own all of it.
Yeah.
If you are got a deal with a distributor, you got a deal with a publisher, you might own a right to collect a certain amount of it, but you don't own any of it.
And people were also arguing and saying, well, look what happened with Prince. Prince was writing and producing everything his music, and Warner still owned the master, but that's because they had a deal in place with him.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you think, because I want to pay now. And it's like, oh, okay, cool.
That was one of the funniest things about the conversation that was going on in the comments with that clip, yeah. And then our clip on No Labels Necessary, was that usually on my page, I try to give free legal game.
Yeah.
I know that there is a high barrier of entry for artists to talk to a lawyer.
Yes.
Most people think I'm going to call a lawyer. They're just going to charge me, you know, whatever. And so many people don't get the advice they need because they're afraid of how much it's going to cost. So what I do is I try to give as much free game as I can because I see shit happen every single day that costs people millions of dollars.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, in this comment, people are taking a 15, 20 second clip.
Yes.
And assuming that we are all talking about a finite, complete thought.
Yes.
That's part of a 1 hour conversation.
Yes.
So with Prince is a perfect example. The label didn't have the rights to his masters because they paid for the studio time. They had the rights to his masters because they had a contract that said, we'll pay, and in exchange for our money, we own your masters. Mm-hmm. And it even goes further than that because Prince had a deal where he would take an advance that was a combination of advance and a recording fund. So he wouldn't just pocket all that money. He was really smart. One of the first recording funds he got, he built his own studio at his house. And he would, his records after that cost the label nothing.
Nope.
So in his mind, this isn't really fair because I'm not costing the label anything. Yeah. I'm just making music for them and they're putting it out there, but they still own it. Because he signed that deal that said they owned it.
Exactly. And by the way, the deal is rooted in, here's some money. That's all I was saying. You see what I'm trying to say? Yo, Prince, you need some money. Here's some money. Yeah. Now we own. Matter of fact, they just signed this, though.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, one thing that artists have to be really careful about is the Taylor Swift effect of masters. Now, Prince was the old example of artists understanding the importance of masters. Taylor Swift is the new example because she got fucked over by Scooter Braun and Big Machine.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to stop, Ryan. That's not fair.
Okay.
and to be honest with you, and by the way, bro, you can come anytime. I like this guy. Like, I love it. But the only reason that's not fair is because she signed something.
Sure.
And she wanted them to do something. And she wanted them to, huh?
Her parents.
And by the way, her father cast out on that. By the way, if Taylor should hate anybody, she should hate her dad. Because he gave him $150,000 to start the label.
Right.
Yeah.
Only for 3% of it. Yes, no. Taylor Swift's dad was a real estate. He was a stockbroker in New York and moved to Nashville to help her. Scott Buschetta was a music exec that worked at a label.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, start the label. He gave Scott Buschetta the money to break his daughter. But it's hard to say she got fucked.
Well, I'll clarify. The reason she got fucked is because she wasn't treated equally to other outside buyers of her music.
Investors.
Because offering the catalog to other people, right? Like just to Scooter Braun. They said, hey, this is a cash rate. I'll sell it to you for how many millions? for her, they said, we want to keep you under contract for longer. So we'll give you
your master,
album by album. So each album, you make for us, we'll give you an old one.
Yep.
So she just wanted that same kind of right of first refusal that other outside purchasers
did. But when they offered that to her, she could have took that, but then she said, this keeps me locked in with you longer, which then, at that moment, if I'm Scott Beschetta, I got to protect my house.
Right.
You want your masters, I give it to you, but can you stay? And you like, I ain't staying, and I want my masters. Well, then this is my retirement. I'm going to keep this for myself.
So this is why I say it's the Taylor Swift effect of the new masters, is because she's winning right now, right? She recorded new masters. It's completely killed the market for these old masters. Everybody wants Taylor's version. Nobody wants this old stuff, right? It's a thing. But now in record deals that I'm seeing, it used to be that you could re-record masters. After that contract ends, within 5 years of that deal, you can re-record a new master. I'm seeing deals now where it says, if you make this master with us, you never record again. Even though you own the copyright to the composition, that's your song, no more masters.
Yeah.
And what's messed up about that is, under the Copyright Act, people can cover that song a million times. But you, as the writer, you've just given up your right to ever record
again. You could do three different versions of it. Like, anybody can do it. That's the part that don't make sense.
Journey did that, and it sounds terrible. They redid their song.
Really?
Yeah,
well, I mean, what's his name did it? Jeff Redd on You Called and Told Me. I hate his version.
Yeah.
Mm. I fucking hate it. Demoitis is a real thing, people. If you're going to re-record your song, you better make that shit sound like something. So with Taylor Swift now, you basically said, you don't think we're going to be able to do that.
This is like the one time where it worked, because up until now, labels didn't care if artists could re-record, because artists really didn't do that. They would just make new music and put it out there, or they'd retire and cash out, on their selling their catalog. But now artists are like, well, Taylor did it. She's making a killing. Yeah. So let's do it. Labels don't want that. They looked real stupid doing that. So now you see what was a standard term. Yeah, you go ahead, re-record it once the deal's done. Yeah. Now you have to fight for that, which was standard for the last 50 years of the music industry.
And another thing, that when artists say they own their masters, that's how labels kept you in business with them. They would give you a deal. You're nobody. Here's $300,000. We own the masters for the next 5 albums. If you become successful by album 3, 4, you'd be like, I want to own my own masters. And they're like, well, we can give you your masters, but re-up the deal. And then they give you this astronomical amount of money that you're like, why are they giving me $30 million? I'm never going to make $30 million again.
That's why.
Dumbass.
They know that.
Duh. They're going to give you the most money, then they're going to put their distribution fee on top.
Yep.
They're going to put their other stuff on top, and you're going to be buried in so much debt that when it's time to get out.
Yeah.
So I always say, none of these artists own their masters if they can't call their major label and say, I want to send my masters to TuneCore. Give me my RSS codes. That's when you own your masters.
Another thing that I tell artists to be careful of, because every artist right now wants a distribution deal. They don't want a label deal. They want to own their masters. Some of these distribution deals are label deals in disguise.
Yes.
You know, like the distribution deals I see, it's a licensing deal.
I like him. Let's go.
It's a licensing deal that it might say it's a 10-year licensing deal. You own your masters. The artist feels great. 10 years, I'm going to get this back. But the fine print is this 10-year license is going to continue indefinitely for as long as you're unrecouped.
Yes.
And if you owe money, that functionally has the same effect as you giving up your masters.
And they can spend money on your behalf. They can literally hire Contrabrand, say, here's $300,000. We want you to blow up this old catalog from Luther Vandross. Mm. Now, y'all are like doing all these things for Luther. He don't even know that they just told, we gave him $600,000 because the person that handed him the money had to charge a fee.
Yeah.
Like, so they're just doubling, they're just putting more and more debt on top of you. And then you're wondering why. Now, that's how she got fucked. That's how all of us get fucked, though.
Yeah.
Because the nature of the label is, you want money, we'll spend it, but as long as we're spending, you owe us, and that's how they got it. So, man, listen, I'm gonna talk to you guys off camera. I have an idea. It's what we talk about in the office.
Oh yeah.
I see I think we could really like fuck shit up. I'm sorry, I'm talking about I'm like, no, shut the fuck up, Aaron. Aaron and it, every time you say something, Aaron is like, hold up, did he say? Aaron wants to do a show called That's Pausable. Because he wants to just call niggas out for shit they say. Pause, pause. Aaron will have motherfuckers in the car saying nothing to each other.
Right.
Nah, but seriously though, man. I appreciate you guys. I want artists to work with you guys. I want artists to work with you. I actually have something are you able to be hired?
Yeah, absolutely.
I have some business that we should do together.
Let's do it.
I like you, bro. Any questions? I'm good, Rick. I'm like, I like these niggas. I like them all. Like, these motherfuckers is
this is good.
This is dope. I'm like, any questions?
I have one question. Can an IP be transferred to a different party?
Absolutely. So, yeah, when you talk about transfer, the question was, can IP be transferred to another party? That's what a record deal is. Because I, as the songwriter... I, as the artist that record that, am transferring the intellectual property to the label.
Yep.
And the contract language will say this is a work for hire. Work for hire technically doesn't exist in music. Yeah. It's really for like you're a software engineer, you're doing something within the scope of your employment. So the fallback on that is, in case this isn't a work for hire legally, I transfer all my copyright. And it happens all the time. That's what a catalog sale is. Yep. That's what a buyout is for sync music. Yeah. You know, yeah, you can absolutely transfer it. It has to be in a signed writing. The only thing that you got to be careful about, especially with all that, is if you have a co-owner of that song or that master, right? If you and I write a song, we're co-owners, I can license that to anybody. Yeah. And my only responsibility to you is that we split any profits that come in, right?
Yeah.
I can do any number of non-exclusive licenses, but I can't exclusively sell that to anybody without you and I getting in on that together, right?
Yeah.
So, because that's partially your thing.
Isn't that what's happening right now with Dame?
That's what I was about to say. Yeah, I was like, that sounds like the Rockefeller joint.
Yeah, like Dame is like, he doesn't need them to sign off on it.
Yeah, it's
not on that because of how it's being taken.
Yeah, yeah.
But I get, and it's funny because Jay-Z, obviously they say like they haven't been getting along, whatever. But it seems that they still appreciate Dame having it.
Yeah,
because
they don't mind him having it. They don't want no one
versus somebody else who don't even respect the property.
Yes,
right. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So like, I get that.
You see lawsuits over that all the time. I mean, like even like an old example that's coming up right now is Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
They have a huge, massive catalog.
They're suing each other
now. They're suing each other because they had a band agreement. And Oates was trying to sell his half of the company.
But only one sings and only one writes the song.
But because they're a band, they're like, let's split everything equally.
Yeah, so hold on. Which one is trying to sell?
John Oates.
Oh, is the one that...
He's the short guy with the mustache. Yeah, he looks more like me.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's the voice. He's the voice.
No, he's the guitar player.
Oh, so
Daryl Hall's the blonde guy.
So Daryl Hall writes and produces everything.
Yes.
That's interesting.
So
it's crazy.
So Oates was trying to cash out.
Yeah.
Oates was trying to cash out, and he said, wait a minute, we got a band agreement that says if you ever want to sell, we both have to go in that together and both agree.
Yeah.
He was trying to get a little sneaky with it.
Mm-hmm. Nah, he was probably just saying, hey, man, it's cool. We friends. I want to go out. And he's like, no the fuck will you ain't. Yeah. Hey. Well, look, man, we gonna put some more stuff together, man. Obviously, we on a time constraint. Man, I just want to thank you guys all for coming, and I think you're gonna see us together doing something, because I got this idea that I'm like, this is it. Let's put it together. Shout out to Two Lost for being our sponsor, our lead sponsor, and shout out to you for watching. Like, share, subscribe, and fuck with these brothers, because they are out here doing superhero work. This is Artist Spotlight presented by Two Lost, and we are out.
Peace.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.